If you were a colonial rebel, the Christmas of 1776 was a dark one. Things did not look good. In fact, the American Revolution in its entirety was an unprecedented occurrence. There was no previous historical blueprint for a group of people casting off their sovereign monarch. The rule of kings and their power was believed to be divine, in fact, and these traitorous colonial rebels who thought to cast off the benevolent protection of their gracious, if expensive, sovereign, didn't really have much hope that this would work. It started off well, but by Christmas of 1776, everything looked pretty lost. The British had sent 30 to 40,000 troops into New York, which was the center of the colonies, and had overwhelmingly defeated General Washington's forces. Washington, by that Christmas, was down to 6,000 men against the 40 to 50,000 British soldiers, regulars. Of Washington's 6,000 men, only 4,000 of them were actually able to fight. 2,000 were sick or injured. And those 4,000 were deserting by the day. The colonial army had run out of money, there wasn't much pay, and deciding to fight for the losing team isn't always a super attractive choice. It was dark. All looked lost. Much like it probably did for the Israelites. This passage that Kathy read from Isaiah chapter 7 about King Ahaz. How do we pronounce this? By the way, I decided to dig in and look this up. I didn't know very much about him, but King Ahaz, the first thing that the book of Kings reports about him is that he sacrificed his child to Molech. Not a good dude. This story picks up, not only is he a horrible king, but where this takes place is he is being attacked by the king of Damascus, the king of Syria from Damascus, and the king of Israel have both teamed up. King Rezin and King Pekah of the Israelites have united and allied to attack Israel. They're overrunning the land. If you are a Judean, this is a horribly dark time to be alive. Your awful king, who is willing to sacrifice even his own children to pagan gods, is running the country, and you're being attacked by a pretty formidable alliance of foes. This is where Isaiah comes with a message. Ask for a sign. But King Ahaz won't do it. Maybe he's feeling guilty. Either way, God decides to give him a sign anyway. The young woman will conceive and will give birth to a child called Emmanuel, God with us. And before that child is old enough to even decide right from wrong, these two kings and kingdoms who are threatening you will be no more. We love the concept of Emmanuel. I love the concept of God, of Emmanuel, God with us. But it is so easy to take that out of the context these words were spoken in. Much like the Revolutionary War in December of 1776, everything looked lost. Of course, that was before Christmas Day of 1776. Any historians out there? George Washington piles all of his troops in boats, sneaks across the Delaware River in the middle of the night, has them bring coffee to the British troops the next morning, and overwhelms the entire garrison, captures them, goes back and does it two more times over the next week, and essentially clears the British out of New Jersey, and gives, more than that, gives the colonials hope that this battle is not lost. and we all get to be here today. All right. Just as hope came in the midst of the darkness, what we forget about Emmanuel, God with us, as this comes at Israel's darkest point. This prophecy, this willingness of God to be with his people, doesn't happen at their pinnacle where everything is great and things are going swimmingly and everyone's happy. This happens when everything is going wrong, which is kind of the way it happens when Jesus is born as well. The Israelites are under the yoke of Roman oppression. The religious leaders aren't helping out much. They're kind of in collusion. Nothing seems to be going well. And yet this is where Spirit moves and God is formed in humanity. This is astounding. Almost any concept of God up to this point is of God being something other, something separate, distant, somewhere else. But what happens here is that God is willing to become one of the humans. Amazing. What an incredible reversal of how we believe everything is structured, that if there's a God, he must be somewhere far away and we must have to make ourselves incredibly perfect in order to get access to that God. And the virgin will conceive and give birth to a child, and he shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. What an incredible situation. God being willing to step down into humanity. This is one of the profound truths of this story, that God is willing to become one with what God loves. God becomes what God loves. God was willing to become. To become means evolving, becoming something you were not before. God, the creator of all things, was willing to become with us. In the middle of the darkness, in the middle of hope being lost, in the middle of the despair, when things are as bad as they could possibly get, God is there, present. God saves by becoming one with what God loves. Do we catch this part of the story? God is becoming more than something God was before, because God is willing to be with each one of us in what we go through. This is the work of Spirit forming Christ in humanity. And this was not a one-off. This is what God is continuing to do in each one of us. This is the ultimate sign that God himself is becoming Emmanuel with us. Incarnation is the most amazing thing. And I think these points bear remembering. Emmanuel comes in the midst of darkness and despair. Always. Incarnation is always grace. 2, the things we are worried about probably aren't always the most important. These things that we fear are threatening us and going to take over our lives are probably pretty temporary. By the way, Ahaz, however you say it, King Ahaz, his name means Yahweh holds. As in the midst of whatever you are going through, Yahweh is holding you. And you want to know the incredible grace of this story? In spite of being a horrible king, that God is willing to be with him anyway. Do you know where Ahaz's name is mentioned again? It's 4 verses right before the verse we read in Matthew. Matthew chapter 1, verse 9. Uzziah was the father of Jotham. Jotham was the father of Ahaz. Ahaz was the father of Hezekiah, and so on and so forth, until Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, who gave birth to Jesus, who is called the Messiah. Did you catch that? Not only is not all hope lost, but God uses this guy to bring forth Messiah, salvation, hope. We all have times where we feel like everything has gone off the rails, where it is so dark that dawn could not be possible. But what this story is a story of God's presence in the midst of all those times. A God who is willing to redeem the most difficult, challenging, and discouraging situations. Of a God who can work through even bad kings to bring salvation and presence with his people. This Christmas story of God becoming one with each of us is one that God continues, I believe, not just thousands of years ago, but today. That Spirit is still at work in your life and my life. That this is the good news, is that God is with us in spite of dark nights, discouraging situations, setbacks, things that we wish were different. God is intimately and eminently present with each of us. So we can rejoice, and we can sing, and we can celebrate the birth of that child, knowing that God is at work in us as well. Join me in singing our hymn of response, Go Tell It on the Mountain, number 218.